glad to see you here tonight. I mentioned several people that I was going to show my pictures tonight and report on our trip to Honduras, and I'm still going to report on the trip to Honduras, but I found out this week that my camera, my new camera which I got, I don't have a hookup to go into the projector, and so we're going to have to work on that, and I've been told there's a couple of different ways to do it, so we'll have to have the pictures later. But I was going to do kind of a report tonight because I didn't want to wait too long to do that, because it's fresh in my memory, and hopefully it'll be an encouragement to everyone that's here for what we did there. Not because of what we did, but because what the Lord allowed us to be able to do. And we need to always remember it's because of Him that these things are done. So I just want to start out, when I left that morning, I had a volunteer to come to pick me up, take me to the airport. That was on the 11th of June, and he arrived very early in the morning. So I got up. I remember waking up and looking at the clock, and it was set for 4 o'clock in the morning, and it was like 5 minutes till 4. So I thought, okay, I'll just go ahead and get up. You know, there's no use in trying to lay here for 5 more minutes. It's not going to make any difference anyway. Well, to tell you, jump ahead about 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks from that, I was going to set the alarm for something else, and I realized the morning I was supposed to leave, I set the clock for 4 o'clock, all right, but I set it for 4 p.m. And so it's good that I actually woke up when I did. So I didn't discover that till later on. But anyway, Jeff took me to the airport and dropped me off there. We made the trip fairly easily from Lubbock down to Houston, and then from Houston to Tegucigalpa on June the 11th. And it was normally, I told you this before, but usually down there the rainy season begins around the 1st of June, and it doesn't just come, you know, kind of ease in and a little bit of rain and a little bit and a little bit and get more. No, it usually just comes all at once, and you have dry for a week or two, and then you have 8 inches of rain in one day, and that's what starts the rainy season usually. Well, it was actually late this year, and so it didn't actually come till about 3 or 4 days before I left. So it was unusually warm. It was hot during the day, but it was nice at night and where we stayed. And so we'll get to that in a moment. But I arrived at the airport. Elias Roque and his wife Ruth and their daughter and son-in-law, Claudia, and Robert, her husband, was there to pick me up. And Claudia has a baby due in about between 2 and 3 weeks from now. I'm not sure exactly when. But they have taken over, Claudia and Robert have taken over the teaching, and Robert's the preacher now at the church in La Cañada, which you may have heard of before, because it's the one up in the mountains that we started about 17 or 18 years ago. And the growth in the last 2 years has been amazing to me, because about 2 years ago, the church at La Cañada had about, maybe 15 or 20 members. Well, I'll get to how many they have now a little bit later, but anyway, they took over that part of the work, and also that freed Elias and Ruth and their family, what's still at home, to work more fully in the church in Colonia San Miguel, which is part of the main city where they live. And so we arrived and everything was going fine. And the first day, I went a couple of days early before we started the campaign. I did that on purpose so that I could visit people and connect with some people I hadn't seen in a while. And I do that, try to do that every year. I have an extra day or two to visit and go see some people that need to be seen and maybe I haven't visited with in a while. So we did that, and so That was kind of took up the first day. The second day, they had it set up because the campaign we're going to do was going to start on the third day. And so what we did the second day was, and then you may think, well, you know, why would you do this? We went to what they call a Cascadas Mall, and several years ago, Walmart bought that mall, the whole thing, and they put their store in it. And so we had to buy food and supplies for the campaign we're going to have. And there was going to be Elias Jr. and his oldest son. Elias came visit here back in April one Wednesday, and a lot of you might have met him. Anyway, he and his oldest son were already there. They got there a day before me. And so his wife and six others were coming from St. Louis, Missouri, to be there as for part of the campaign. And there were several preachers coming in from different places also. There was five from Honduras that came in, and there was one from Nicaragua and one from El Salvador that came in to work with us on the campaign. So the reason we went to the mall was because we needed to buy supplies for that many people, for like 14 or 15 people for a seven-day period. Now, you may not realize how much you need to buy for that, but we ended up spending like 4 hours at the mall, in Walmart mainly. We came out with six or seven full shopping carts full of things to take back. And so it was food and other things we needed, you know, paper plates, everything you can imagine. So that was a very tiring day for me. I don't like to go to the mall much anyway, but that's what we did. But it's all in preparation so that they could make the meals for all of those who are working in the campaign, in which they did. And so while we were there then, on the next day, after that we came back to the church building, because on the second floor of the church building in Colonia San Miguel, there's a storage area, there's a kitchen and some other things there. So we had to take all that stuff upstairs, and there's no elevators or anything. You just walk up the stairs. And so we did and got all that set up. And so that, and of course, I mentioned before, and you might have seen on the pictures, that the clinic is, the church building is half the building that's there. And then the clinic that was started about 12 or 13 years ago is the building. It's attached to it. It's all basically one building, but there's an open space in between. That during the week, it's the waiting room for the clinic, and during that time, it's a classroom, and they use every part of the building for different things. And so we had to take everything up there, and Dr. Norma Calderon was the doctor there that directs the clinic, and she was just getting through with the day, and so I got to visit with her for a while. And several years ago, she adopted me into her family, so they consider me to be part of the family. So anyway, so we went that evening to Santa Lucia, which is up in the mountains. We're about 10 or 15 miles up in the mountains from Tegucigalpa, because they found a hotel. Santa Lucia is kind of a tourist area. We found a hotel that put all of us up right together, so we wouldn't have to be scattered out. And you might wonder, why didn't we get one in the city? Well, because it's a lot cheaper to go up there and just to take us up and drive down in the morning. So that's why we did that. So we got our hotel rooms there. And then the next morning, we went to the airport to pick up all the ones that were coming in from St. Louis, Missouri. And so they did. There was seven altogether that came in from there. And so So we were getting ready for the campaign to start, which was going to actually start on Monday, but we had, over the weekend, we were going to do some things too to prepare for that. And also, there are some things that the churches there do that we wanted them to experience and be there a part of it on Saturday. And this started about six or seven years ago, that on Saturday afternoon they would go to La Cañada, which is up in the mountains, and they bring food with them, and they go to, there's two different places they go, and they set up there, they bring a load of food and snack food or whatever it may be at the time, and they invite all the children from the area, and it's a very poor area, and they feed the children, and they have a Bible lesson for them, and every once in a while, like this time, they had some extra prizes and things to give to them. And so, and then of course, when they have the Bible study, that's eventually led to many of the parents and such being able to be reached and taught the Word of God because of what they do. So we did that on Saturday. That was our Saturday. Then Sunday, then we had the regular service. There was the service at Colonia San Miguel, which is in the city, which is where I was that morning. And then there was also the service in La Cañada at the same time. Well, back just for a moment, on Saturday night, they have service Saturday night service there. And I was the speaker for that one. And it was for 2 days, there was what they call a seminar. And the seminar for 2 days at San Miguel was marriage and what is important about it to the church and to families. And my topic was the vow of matrimony. And that's what I spoke for. There was a speaker after me, and then the next day there was two more speakers for this seminar on the family and the teaching about it. Well, on Sunday, then of course, we met. I went to San Miguel. The others went to La Cañada. And I was getting to the idea of the number of people. 3 or 4 years ago at San Miguel on Sunday morning, they would usually have about 25 or 30 regular members that would be there on Sunday morning. And in La Cañada, they would have anywhere from 15 to 20 or 25 normally. And sometimes they have more, sometimes less. Well, to show you what kind of work they have done and increase they have made, the Sunday morning I was there at San Miguel, we had 85 for the service that morning there. And then at the same time in La Cañada, they had 80 there on those two places. And so that's the kind of rapid growth they have had over about the last 3 years. And so it's very encouraging to me to think that we all work together on this, because even though I'm usually one that goes, when you help me and support me in doing that, you become part of that work. And maybe you don't think so, but the people down there know it, because I try to get across to them that the money that I take with me is not mine. Doesn't belong to me. It's given for the purpose of spreading the Word of God there. So we had those in that amount, and then for the evening services at San Miguel, we had about 60, and the evening service at La Cañada was about around 50 or so. So that's the kind of growth they've had, especially in the last 2 years. And so then on Monday morning, that would be June 17th, we began the campaign. And the campaign was the preachers that had come in from Honduras and El Salvador and Nicaragua, and the preachers who already were there, they broke up into groups, and There would be a couple from St. Louis go with each one of them and go around all around the neighborhood where they were. There was a whole area in the city, and it, the city of Tegucigalpa is divided into, I believe, 16 different areas. We might call them neighborhoods, but they call them colonia, which translates to colony, but basically it's a department, an area of the city. So this was in La Cañada, which is the, Colonia San Miguel, which is that particular area. And so in 4 days' time, with that many people out, we covered a very large portion of that area and that neighborhood, mainly around within the several blocks of the church building there. And so I don't know how much material they handed out, but I know we had a fairly good sized number of home Bible studies. We ended up having, at that time, three baptisms over the course of that time and that campaign, and two restorations and many follow-up Bible studies after that. And so one of the things that I was doing was going with Elias, the preacher there, and he wanted me to go, since I knew many of the members, he wanted me to go and visit members who hadn't been there or out of duty or had other problems, and so that's what he and I did while the others were going to other houses. And so we worked together on that for 4 days, going to see people. And let's see, I'm looking on. I keep a notebook whenever I go so I can remember what I do. And by the way, if you got any questions, go ahead. You can stop me anytime. I don't mind answering questions if I can. But we went and visited several people. Some of them had out of duty from the church. Some of them had illness. Or, for example, one lady, her name is Aura, A-U-R-A, and she is suffering from cancer. She's one of the most faithful members that they have there, and so we went and visited her. And we actually had, Elias and I had a devotional with her and her family while we were there. And you might think, well, you know, how do they look at us? In other words, how do they view the church here? And I try to tell people that come in from St. Louis and places like that, and that maybe they don't speak Spanish, but they might think, well, I'm not really getting anything done here. Well, that's not the way the people there look at it. They say, and I've been told this many times, if you take the time and effort to give or even to come down there, they sincerely appreciate the fact that you care enough for them to do something about it. And that's something I've been told a great many times from people there, that even though maybe they don't speak the language, at least they know that they cared enough to come down there. So the campaign went on for 3 days, and I'll tell you one story that happened. And there was usually one of the preachers and one of the helpers that would stay at the church building because the clinic was open during the day, and they would talk to people who came to the clinic. Well, there was a lady going by one day, and she was pushing an ice cream cart. They didn't have an ice cream truck. They had a cart, hand-pushed cart. So she came up there and wanted to see if anybody wanted to get some ice cream, and several people bought some from her. And the preacher that was there, he said, well, if you've sold quite a bit and you got a few minutes to have a Bible study. And she said, okay, I can do that. Because I think she had probably sold most of what she had in her cart already. And so they studied with her for about, in fact, the one of the men that was staying in the room at the hotel with me, Jose Diaz, he is from Nicaragua. And he studied with her, and after about an hour, he says, do you think you need want to be baptized? She says, yes. He says, this is what I've been looking for. Because I've been to all these different churches, and they teach this, and other teaches that. She says, this is what the Bible says, and this is what I need to do. So we took her in there, and she was baptized into Christ. So that's the opportunity that is found there. Let's see. The second full day of the campaign, Elias wanted me to go with him to visit members and do some other work with him, which I did. And he mentioned to me that the van which we helped to buy for him last year needed tires. Well, it did. Of course, it probably needed tires when he got it, but he is very good at preserving things long enough until it falls apart, which, like the 72 Toyota van he had when I first started going down there, somehow he kept that thing together for about 10 or 12 years before it finally just kind of fell apart completely. But anyway, so we went, and with the help of the ones from St. Louis, we bought new tires for his van. So that's set up. And in the night, even each evening, we would have the services for the campaign at the church building in Colonia San Miguel. And we averaged about 67 or 68 for each of the meetings in the evenings for that. And different preachers would preach there. And so since I just preached one time during the time I was there this time, usually I'd do two or three, but this time each one of the preachers had a particular assignment and a topic that he was to deal with. So that kind of freed me not to do a lot of the preaching there, which is fine, because they have a better understanding of the culture where they are than I do. And that doesn't mean I can't preach to them. I do. But they had a better understanding of the particular situations that they would deal with, which is a problem there sometimes. And so we did that. Well, then on Thursday, which would be the 19th of June, the only real kind of problem we had while we were there, and I might have told a couple of you about this, but we had a couple of baptisms that day, and then Elias and I went. Dr. Norma doesn't work at the clinic on Thursday, so she had invited us out to her house. So we went out there, and she fixed lunch for us, and we were out there and visited for a while. And on the way back, there's a loop around the city, and it's four. Two lanes each way, going all the way around the city. Normally, if you're going to get somewhere in the city, if you can get on that loop, you can get there a lot quicker. Well, we didn't know what was going on, but we were stuck on that loop for what would normally be like a 20-minute drive around. We were stuck on the loop for 3 hours. We didn't even know why until we got on, off, and finally found out that the truck drivers union there was mad at the government because they didn't uphold supposedly their agreement and their contract, and so they got all the old tires they could find and threw them out on all the streets and lit them on fire and as a protest. And you know, this is my editorial comment, but I would think if people are trying to gain help from somebody, they wouldn't make everybody mad, which they succeeded in doing, me included, actually. But that was the only problem we had. But by Thursday morning, Thursday afternoon, trouble was kind of cleared up. And I'm not going to get into much of that. But anyway, let's just say the government there is not nearly as concerned about the welfare and the rights of the accused and such as we are here. And so they kind of moved in and took care of it. So anyway, we were able to get back home, and then The Friday on, which will be June the 20th, or no, that was Thursday. Yeah, Thursday, June 20th. 19th was Wednesday. That was the last day of the campaign was on the Wednesday. Well, on Thursday, one thing they usually try to do is have kind of a day where they kind of have some recreation and go and visit places and things like that, and that's what we did that day and went shopping. And then on the 21st, then, which had been Friday, the ones in St. Louis were going back home, and the preachers from El Salvador and Nicaragua and other places in Honduras, they were scheduled to go home, which they did. And then we had to take all the ones from St. Louis back to the airport. So we did that. And finally, I was the last one to leave. I didn't leave till Saturday, the 22nd. But that day, Dr. Norma and two of her daughters picked me up, take me out to lunch, which they did. And then we went back to the house, Elias's house in Tegucigalpa, for that night. Then next morning, we got up early, and I didn't know it, but Elias Jr. told me that when I first started going down there, that they realized the day I leave, I'm no longer going to go by Honduran time. That, you know, with them, if you're supposed to be somewhere at 7 o'clock, okay, you can be there 7, 7:30, 6:45, and it's all the same. But when I get ready to go home, they found out that I insist on being on time to the airport, in fact, being there early to the airport. And so I didn't know till this time, it had become kind of a joke with them at my expense, but that's all right. I probably deserved it. But anyway, I was able to get back home, and Russell and Wyatt came and picked me up at the airport and brought me back home. But while we were there, our day started about 8:30 in the morning and ended about 9:30 at night, and we were busy all that time in between. So that's why it took me several days to get rested up from the work. Okay, now that's kind of my report on that. Is there any questions, anything? Yeah.
You mentioned that they have a service on Saturday night. Is it every Saturday night, or is it just because they were getting ready?
Yeah, the Saturday night was special on that night, but they meet on, let's see, I'm trying to remember which one. They meet really every night of the week if you have both congregations. But they meet Sunday night, and in San Miguel, they meet Sunday night, Tuesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night. And then, of course, Sunday. And then in La Cañada, they meet Monday night, Wednesday night, and Friday night, I believe so. So they meet, like we have midweek service on Wednesday, they have three services during the week at night. So, you know, you can take that for whatever it's worth, but that's what they do. Any other questions? But, you know, they work hard, and they work me hard when I'm there. Oh, yeah. No, there's several of the members that help out with it, that go with them. One man, I've mentioned him before, his name is Balvino Diaz, and he's 94 years old, and he goes out with them all the time. We went by his house one day, and he has outlived two wives, and he's got married again. He was only 91 when he got married again. And I am not kidding, he gets around better than I do. And so I've doubted that he's 94, but I assure you that he is. But there are several of the members willingly go out, help out with it. And at the clinic, Dr. Norma, and there's another doctor that works with her, and she does the lab work. And both of them, not only do they, you know, treat patients and everything, they also sometimes have Bible studies with them when they come in. And so it's not just a clinic. It is that, but they get a spiritual help with it also. Okay, any other ideas or questions? Anyway, like I said, you know, they don't look at it like, you know, I just come down there and spend some time and then go home. Whatever you send, whatever you help me to do there in money or whatever else, sometimes people send other things for them. They look upon that as your sincere help for them. And, you know, we are on their prayer list all of the time because they tell me that, and not only that, several of them even, they write out their prayer list. They encourage people to do that. And they showed me, see, you're right here. This is where you are on my prayer list. So, you know, they are praying for us all of the time. Okay. Any other questions? Like I said, I hope to have the pictures ready sometime soon, and I go ahead and show them. Because I got some different pictures this time from what I normally do. I wanted you to see them and get a better idea of some of the things there and the land and landscapes and all that. Okay, any other questions? Okay, we're going to do a quick thought. Turn over to Matthew chapter 28. Now, I told you that the people there are very receptive. They are willing to listen. Several years ago, we studied with a preacher from, I believe he was from the Church of the Nazarene, and we studied with him one afternoon, and he told me at the end of the study, we just gave him and studied with him and taught him the best we could, and he asked a lot of questions, and sometimes he disagreed, sometimes he agreed, but at the end of it, I guess we didn't, teach him enough, or he wasn't fully converted, or maybe he just didn't see at that time yet, but he told me, he said, I don't agree with some of the things you said, but he said, I sincerely appreciate the fact that you're willing to come here and to do this. And again, I'm not talking about myself. I mean, as you would send me down there and help me to go. And so he understood what was being done. And even though he didn't agree with it, and as far as I know, never obeyed the gospel of Christ, but at least he understood and was very willing to thank me for coming along with others. But in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 16 of Matthew 28. Jesus has died and been resurrected from the dead. It says, but the 11 disciples went into Galilee unto the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. So Jesus had told his disciples before his death, burial, and resurrection, when I am resurrected, which they didn't even believe it was going to happen because they didn't believe he was going to be crucified in the first place, he says, you have to go to Galilee, and there I'll be with you again. So finally, they realize he is now resurrected from the dead. He's shown himself to them, and they still need to go to Galilee. Verse 17, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. So even there, even the apostles who had seen him die on the cross and be resurrected from the dead and appeared to them, they still had some doubts. I've often wondered about that because you would think, well, all the doubts would be removed. But you got to remember, they were with him for 3 years, and he told them explicitly, I am the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, I'm the one that's you waited for. And they still saw him taken and crucified and everything. Maybe they thought, well, can that happen again? Well, so some doubted. Verse 18, and Jesus came to them and spoke unto them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. After his death, burial, and resurrection, Jesus was given by the authority of God the Father all authority in all things. In Colossians chapter 1, the Bible says, in him, in Christ, all things consist. The word consist means to hold together. And so he is the one that has all authority in the physical universe, in the spiritual realm. He has all authority. There is no greater than that. And so whatever we do, whatever we teach, whatever, however we live, has to be according to his authority that he has given to us. And according to the message which which that authority requires. So he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So here's our part of that. Jesus fulfilled his part. He says, I have all authority because I've come, I've been nailed to the cross, I've died, shed my blood for your forgiveness, been resurrected from the dead. Now he's going to ascend back to the Father with all authority. He says, Go ye therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So he says, you go, because of all authority that he has, he says, you go to all nations. Now again, all of us can't go to all nations in the world. But the idea there, if you look at the original wording that he uses, he's talking about going where we are able to go. So it doesn't mean that we have to go, 5,000 miles around the world, 8,000 miles or whatever, to teach and the message. But he says you go, and in a sense he's saying as you are going to these nations and other people and your family or whoever it may be, he says you strive and try to make them disciples. You teach them. So there is a requirement. Yes, he says go and therefore and make disciples of all nations. There's no restriction upon who was to be reached by the gospel. Now we know in the book of Acts, Peter had to have a special revelation from God to tell him that he is to preach the message to the Gentiles also, because that didn't come into their mind. Even though Jesus had said, go to all nations, it still didn't stick in their mind that's what he meant. So he says, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Well, baptism, of course, is the act in which we obey what God has commanded. Colossians 2:12 says it's the working of God. It's not our working. It's God's working that saves us, because we simply obey what he has commanded. According to the in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit means by their authority. That's what we're to do. Verse 20, he says then, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So we're teach people to believe and obey all things that he has commanded. Not just the immediate situation, but every day of life. And that's where the rest of the New Testament comes in. That's why he didn't stop there and say that's all there is. There is more teaching to be done. This is teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And then he says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So the idea of the all there, I'll be with you always. If you go and teach and baptize and teach and continue to do that, he says, I will be with you always, now, to the end of the world, and of course forever. So we look at that and realize that's what we try to do. That's our purpose. And so we have an opportunity to believe him, to obey him, and to follow him. Now this evening, if there's a need in your life, if you need, for whatever reason it may be, to respond to the invitation, won't you come stand as we sing?